Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here until 4 o'clock. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And yeah, so you've heard about the Asian murder hornets. They've made the news, to add to the people freaking out the pandemic. Then all of a sudden you hear the term murder hornets, and that doesn't help. So we decided we wanted to talk a little bit about this and get some light shed on the situation. The professor and head of entomology at the University of Illinois is May Barenbaum, and we're going to shed some light on this on the topic. May, how are you?
Oh, can't complain, I guess, all things considered.
Yeah, so are you're all holed up? Everything going okay?
So far, so good. Yeah, okay, and insects are starting to come back from winter because it's sort of spring.
Yeah, yeah, it is. So tell me how you got into entomology.
Oh, actually, growing up, I was always interested in biology, but I was terrified of insects. I was entomophobic. And I went, as an undergrad, I went away to college as a biology major, and I placed out of intro bio. And second semester, freshman year, I could take an upper-level course in biology, and the only one that fit my schedule was called terrestrial arthropods, which I figured kind of knew had something to do with insects. And I thought, all right, time to face my fears, and knowledge is power. I'll take this course, and here I am today.
Wow. So you were really frightened of insects then when you were young?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would, like, cross the street to avoid sort of direct contact with a caterpillar.
Wow. That's amazing. Did you ever think that you would ever be into entomology then?
I would have bet large sums of money against it.
And how did you get over it? How did you get over your fear, eventually?
Well, it was a matter of just learning enough about them to realize that there wasn't really much to be afraid of, with a few notable exceptions. But then, if you knew the exceptions, then you didn't have to be afraid of everything.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. Well, explain what what the study of entomology is and what you do, and just a kind of an overview of it.
So literally the word means the study of insects, although entomologists can also study other arthropods. Those are jointed-legged creatures with an external skeleton. So insects are just one representative within that very large, it's called phylum. So entomologists do all kinds of things, ranging from sort of identifying, collecting, and classifying them to figuring out environmentally sustainable ways to destroy them. So it can be basic, it can be applied. There are medical entomologists who deal with disease vectors. There are agricultural entomologists who deal with, crop pests. And I'm an insect ecologist interested in how insects sort of make their way in the world. And among the insects I'm particularly interested in are pollinators, including honeybees.
Wow, okay. Do you discover new insects? Are there new insects that just show up sometimes?
They are, absolutely. It's estimated there are about a million species of insects that people have described, and estimates are that there's probably upwards of 5 million, so we still have 4 million or so to find and identify. So it's not all that unusual for people to discover an insect that has never been described by any entomologist. In fact, that's not the kind of entomology I do. You need to be very specialized in order to tell one from the other. But I'm very proud to say that there is actually a new species of cockroach that was named in my honor.
So what's it called?
Zestoblatta barenbaumi.
That's fantastic. Are you happy to have a cockroach named after you?
The practice is you name a species in honor of an individual who has made a significant contribution to understanding that group. This was kind of an exception. There's a graduate student from Rutgers, Domenico Evangelista, who's trying to fund his taxonomy research Central and South America on cockroaches. So he had a GoFundMe site where he auctioned off the naming rights to the person who made the largest donation. And I saw that. I said, all right, that's the shortcut to lasting entomological immortality. I'll just bid to cover the whole thing. So,
yeah. So
it was kind of a cheat. It wasn't because I contributed to deep knowledge of cockroaches, but it's still, it is a form of immortality, because once the name, if it's officially recognized, that's it. So there you go.
That's
not
great.
Exactly a household name, but it's a name nonetheless.
That's great. That's really great. So you said there are different, you said that's not the kind of entomology that I do. How many different types or how many different kinds of studies of entomology are there?
Oh, well, there are, in the Entomological Society of America, there are about 7,000 members, and it's broken down into different types of entomologists. So there's the medical veterinary entomologist, there are the ecologists who study plant-insect interactions, there are the systematists who classify, identify them, there are economic entomologists who deal with all kinds of pest problems. So there are quite a number of different ways to be an entomologist. In fact, there are all kinds of career paths. Every branch of the military includes entomologists, even the Air Force, which you wouldn't think.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's...
There are all kinds of use. You know, entomologists can be useful in all kinds of ways.
Sounds like it. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so let's get to it. Let's get to it, May. We've all, you know, over the past week or so, a little bit longer, we've started to hear this phrase "murder hornets," and you know, as though there's not enough anxiety in the world right now, suddenly we get to hear the term "murder hornets." What do we know about this kind of hornet, and should we be really concerned?
Well, maybe I should just start out by saying everybody should take a deep breath. Unless you're a honeybee, you really don't have a whole lot to worry about.
No.
So this is a species called Vespa mandarinia. It is native to Asia, and there's particularly Japan. And it is among the world's largest hornets. It's, you know, about 3-inch wingspan and 2 to 2.5-inch length.
Oh, my God.
And its stinger is 1/4 inch long.
Oh, man.
That's all true. And it was sort of happily ensconced in Asia until last September, when a nest was discovered in British Columbia near Nanaimo, and it was destroyed. And people were kind of concerned because it's not native to North America. It doesn't belong here. No one knows how it got here, probably on a container ship. There was some speculation that maybe it came in a shipment of bonsai from Japan. Nobody knows. And that made a little bit of ripple in social media. And then in December, two individual wasps were found near Blaine, Washington. So they'd made it to the U.S. They were not genetically related to the ones that were discovered and destroyed in British Columbia. And then actually, New York Times covered that, and it didn't really make any splash either. It was only until this past week when they got labeled as murder hornets that, what's the journalistic phrase? If it bleeds, it leaves.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yep.
So ever since, I've been inundated with calls like this,
yeah.
And pictures of people who are in, like, Pennsylvania worried about finding a murder hornet, which almost assuredly they have not.
Okay. Well, May, hang on for a second. Okay, we got to take a break. Okay. This is May Barenbaum. She is the professor and head of entomology at the University of Illinois, and we're learning about the murder hornets. But everybody, just take a deep breath. I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to be okay. More to come right after this on 720 WGN. All right. All right. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio on a Thursday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're here till 4 a.m. And then at 4, we go over to Bradley Place to the TV side of WGN and get some news and info from them. And then at 5 o'clock, it's Bob Surratt. Joining me right now is the professor and head of entomology for University of Illinois, and that's May Barenbaum. And we're getting the actual truth and information about these so-called murder hornets. May, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be there.
Do we know who came up with murder hornet? Has anybody traced that back?
Actually, they're not uncommon in Japan, and evidently, murder hornet in Japanese has been used as a common name, although not predominantly. So it's a legitimate common name. It's never been, as far as any entomologist knows, ever been used before in English. In fact, on the entomology listserv, there's a lot of commentary with the subject line, "Who's the idiot that called these murder hornets?" Because it really does perpetuate stereotypes and create a lot of unnecessary fear and panic.
Yeah.
But as I was saying, if you are a honeybee, then definitely there's cause for concern, because among the interesting life history attributes of this these hornets is that they're carnivore. I mean, they're meat eaters. They just like most wasps and hornets. And toward the end of the season, the Asian giant hornet will enter a honeybee colony, and if there's more than one or two of them in there, they can basically decapitate and slaughter up to 25,000 bees before they destroy the colony.
Wow.
And then they take the the headless bodies back to their nest and feed their larvae, their immature, the headless bodies, after sort of manipulating them into meatball-like consistency and structure. And then the weirdest thing is that the adults will then feed on secretions that the larvae produce. So it's just a very weird way of making a living, even among insects who are renowned for weird ways of making a living. They use their stingers, their social insects, and they will defend the colony. And their stings, not surprisingly, considering the size, are quite... the stings are supposed to be quite painful. They can, in some individuals, cause tissue necrosis or tissue death and organ failure. And they're associated with about 50 deaths a year in Japan. But that's, to put that in context, that's not unlike the number of deaths here in the U.S. caused by honeybees. So some of that is, allergy. Some of that is actually very little of it is toxic reaction. I did a search of the literature. There's not that many papers written about these. Who would want to work with them, right?
Yeah.
So they're of the top 10 most cited papers, 6 out of 10 are about venom constituents. So that's what's attracted the attention of entomologists. It's a pretty powerful venom.
Wow. And now here's, I had heard that actually, you're saying that the honeybees have the most to worry about, but can a honeybee cook a murder hornet alive? I've heard about this.
Well, yeah, what we call honeybees are from Europe. It's the scientific name is Apis mellifera, and it's known as the Western honeybee. It has a very close relative that is from Asia, and it's called the Asian or Eastern honeybee, Apis serrana. So the Eastern or Asian honeybee has spent millennia dealing with murder hornets. And in fact, when a hornet shows up at the nest entrance, what typically happens with an Asian honeybee is they pile on. There are a bunch of workers that recruit, and they pile on. They vibrate their thorax muscles to create body heat, like shivering does. And because the lethal upper lethal temperature of the honeybee is a little bit higher than the upper lethal temperature of the wasp, they'll just basically heat up the wasp with their collective body heat and destroy it that way. And then another thing they do, because they've had this long evolutionary association with the hornets, when the hornet scout comes and finds a honeybee, marks the entrance to the hive with a pheromone, a chemical signal that's perceived by nestmates, the honeybees, if they perceive the signal, will go out, collect plants and then smear them at the entrance to cover up the smell of the pheromone. So they are well equipped to deal with this ancient enemy. Unfortunately, our honeybees are from Europe and never had to deal with murder hornets. Oh. So what happens, instead of sort of mobbing them, they fly out, the guard bees fly out and meet them and then just get mercilessly slaughtered. Although mercilessly is kind of a loaded word, you know, one should be scientifically objective when describing even something called a murder hornet. So.
Wow. It's fascinating stuff. And now I understand that these actually are a delicacy and are eaten in Japan as well?
Actually, that's in fact the case. They are appreciated for the extra protein they can provide. Moreover, throughout Asia, not just in China or Japan and China and Taiwan, the adults are steeped in sorghum wine or rice wine. In Taiwan, it's called the tiger head bee wine. So they aged for days, months, or years, and then the beverage is consumed as sort of a health tonic, and it's supposed to be good for joint pain and male virility.
Oh, is that right?
In fact, I posted this on Twitter, and some of the tweets were something like, okay, America embraces the murder hornet, and then there was another tweet that was... somewhere in California, a craft vintner is gearing up, which I thought was also pretty clever.
Yeah, very, very good. Before we let you go, May, you created the Insect Fear Film Festival at U of I.
I did indeed.
Tell me all about that.
Okay, so yeah, I was an assistant professor in 1984, and you know, I all entomologists know that people. There's a lot of misinformation and irrational fear about insects, including me. I grew up with this fear, and I thought part of my job as an entomologist is to sort of dispel these irrational fears. And it's very hard to convince a crowd to come to watch and listen to a lecture on insect physiology, but you can convince a crowd to watch a movie about radiation-induced giant grasshoppers that march up I-57 and climb up the Wrigley Building.
Right.
They do in the beginning of the end. That started our Insect Fear Film Festivals. Every year, we show bad insect science fiction films and then explain to people why what they're about to see can't possibly happen.
Oh, that's great. That's really great. What are some of the movies that you've shown?
Well, it's we're on our 37th year. So that's a lot. We have a theme every year just to sort of focus the messaging. We had an all-mosquito program one year, and we actually ran a blood drive in connection with it. So, you know, donate blood, start a mosquito kind of thing. And we've had, this year we did a bit of a different theme. It was an all-crustacean festival because, as it turns out, modern molecular genomics has shown that even though most people don't think, including most entomologists for years, didn't think that crustaceans were particularly, you know, like crab, lobster, shrimp, and the like, were particularly closely related to insects. It turns out insects are probably just terrestrial crustaceans. So we thought we should do a, you know, sort of our acknowledgement of that. Most people think that spiders and insects are more closely related, and what's happened is they're both terrestrial, so they have kind of converged on various ways of dealing with environmental challenges because they live in terrestrial environments. And boy, in the ocean, everything is different, you know. So that's where you find most of the trouble with tear films with crustaceans is they don't look as scary as they do delicious, you know.
That's absolutely true. Have you shown them?
Oh, that was our first festival.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, that's a
1954.
That's a classic, absolute classic.
Yeah, radiation-induced giant ants in the deserts of New Mexico end up in the basin of in Los Angeles.
Right.
Get blown up. So.
Yeah. So yeah, that's fun. That's really a lot of fun. When do you do this festival? You said you're 37th.
It's the last. Last weekend and last Saturday in February.
Last Saturday in February. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, May, thanks for giving us a shining a light on this, and we should all just calm down. The murder hornets are not going to kill us.
Yeah, there are so many other things to worry about right now. But, this is,
Okay, well, we just wanted to put everybody, lay everybody's, you know, just one less piece of anxiety for everybody to think about.
Sleep well tonight, everybody.
Okay.
And thank you so much for your interest.
Thanks, May. Take care.
Yeah, okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. She's great. May Barenbaum, professor and head of entomology at the University of Illinois. Man, she's a smart lady. That was fascinating. Okay. Hey, the murder hornets are not going to get us. Calm down. All right. All right. Let's take a break here on 720 WGN.